This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Brazil has a new president. His name is Jair Bolsonaro, and he has been compared to President Trump. Let's find out what that means exactly. Gustavo Ribeiro is a Brazilian journalist. He is the managing editor of the Brazilian Report. We're talking to him in Sao Paulo. Tell me about this man. Why is he being compared to Donald Trump?
Hello, Dave. Well, he has made that comparison himself a lot of times in the way of he has an aggressive rhetoric. He communicates on social media all the time. So the modus operandi is quite similar. However, I would say he's much more extreme than Donald Trump ever was. Jair Bolsonaro has defended the use of torture by the state a lot of times. He has defended the legacy of the military dictatorship that ruled Brazil from 1964 to 1985. His son, just a couple of months ago, talked about shutting down the Supreme Court and how easily that would be done. So he has made several undemocratic statements, and some analysts in Brazil call him the most extreme leader to be elected in the world right now, much more extreme than Donald Trump.
And yet the election was decisive, so what were the voters reacting to?
I see Mr. Bolsonaro's rise less of support for him as a whole and more of a rejection of the Brazilian system. Since 2013, voters have sent a clear message to the political establishment that they are fed up with our party system as it is right now. It's a party system that has managed little with our state. Brazil has still appalling levels of inequality, of poverty, despite all the improvements that we had in the past 30 years. And a more educated population, a population that has become more educated in the past two decades, has started to do the math. We have terrible public services, and our politicians are getting richer and richer, despite their only job being holding public office. So the rejection for that system marred by corruption has exploded in 2013 when we had massive protests across the country. And since then, the only reaction by the political establishment was to try to make it even harder for new leaders to ascend. They approved laws that would make it more difficult for new parties to have access to campaign financing, to have airtime on television and radio. So in the lack of new options, so to speak, voters voted for imploding the system, if you will.
So Mr. Bolsonaro decided to essentially outflank the system by using social media and was tremendously successful. So now that the Brazilian people have sent this message, what types of policies is he likely to adopt to make them happier with their situation?
Well, the problem about Jair Bolsonaro is that before January the 1st, when he will take office, it is nearly impossible to know what he will do, because his campaign has been marked by the fact that one person says one thing, the other person says the opposite, and then the president-elect will say a third thing. For instance, throughout his history as a member of parliament, where he has been for 28 years, he has been a conservative person, but in favor of a more interventionist approach by the state on the economy. However, his chief economic advisor and future finance minister is an ultra-libertarian economist who defends several unpopular reforms for Brazil. So the thing is, how long will this marriage work? And how on board will the president-elect be with his Minister of Finance's agenda? He's trying to negotiate with the sitting president right now, who stays in office until the end of the year, to pass a very unpopular pension reform, so that would preserve Mr. Bolsonaro from all the political cost of this kind of reform. And the thing is, the problem with Brazil is that an ultra-libertarian agenda cannot work. We are a country where half of the population doesn't have access to a proper sewage system, for instance. We have pockets of poverty all around the map, and almost half of the population depends on the state for their basic needs, for the little income they have. So just pulling the state from the economy can be a dangerous thing and can cost him his popularity very, very quickly.
So you have no idea what he might do next. We certainly can identify with that here, I think, on both sides. So does this worry you in some way?
Yes. Yes, of course, because Brazil is still struggling to recover from the worst recession on record. We have, throughout Brazilian history, this past 8 years have been the worst 8 year stretch in our economy. We have a 13% unemployment rate. We have rampant public debt. Our federal government has been facing years of deficit after one year after another. So there's little room for error. And that's something to be worried about. Not only we talk a lot regarding Jair Bolsonaro about his anti-democratic statements and the fact that a lot of people are worrying in how he could corrode our democratic institutions. And of course, that's a major source of concern. But economically speaking, we have to be worried too, because the problem with this campaign, and this campaign was main focus was Jair Bolsonaro presenting himself as the anti-establishment, but offering little proposals, is that we're not really sure of what he's bringing to the table. So in a situation where the country is so polarized, where people are facing such a hard economic time, if he doesn't show results very soon, we could face enormous turmoil, even bigger than we have in the past 5 years.
In terms of what his effect might be on the whole climate change issue, I see that he wants to pull Brazil out of the Paris Climate Agreement. And also that he, according to the Washington Post anyway, he wants to privatize a large part of the Amazon rainforest and turn it over to mining and agriculture. Is that a concern of people? Or did people vote for that? Or did they not expect him to go that far?
Well, the thing is, the problem with this political crisis we have is that people didn't vote for that. They voted against the party that was running against Mr. Bolsonaro, the Workers' Party. So they took the whole package without really looking what was inside of it. This Paris Accord issue, for instance, is one of the issues I was telling you about, that his campaign for once says one thing, then says another thing. He said he would pull Brazil from the accord, then he reconsidered that. So it's impossible to know when he was telling the truth. His probable Minister of Agriculture said that, of, and I quote, "Of course, there's room for more deforestation in the Amazon." This administration will be an administration very close to landowners, to cattle ranchers, and to timber producers. So Brazil has managed to reduce the deforestation rates over the past decade, and I expect that trend to be radically reversed as soon as Jair Bolsonaro takes office. He was even considering to scrap the Ministry of Environment altogether and put it under the umbrella of the Ministry of Agriculture, sending a message that, well, agriculture was, agribusiness would be more important than the environmental preservation.
So, Gustavo, you're a journalist, and I'm curious if there is a phrase in Portuguese for fake news, and if Mr. Bolsonaro has uttered it.
Actually use fake news in English. And yes, he uses it all the time. I'm pretty sure you guys in the States are familiar with having a president saying that all the time. And the thing is, not only he calls out on the media whenever there is a scandal or whenever there's a negative report about him, he calls it fake news. But the press here has unveiled a scheme showing that his campaign was a major source of fake news. They were in an illegal scheme to spread fake news on WhatsApp Messenger, which is a messaging app that is Brazil's top means of communication, actually. So since this app does not disclose any metadata, we don't know exactly how, what was the extent of this fake news spreading scheme. The only thing we know is that dozens of millions of dollars were spent to send targeted messages for different clusters of voters attacking his opponent in this runoff stage campaign.
And now you say this was an illegal scheme to disseminate fake news. Do you have laws against fake news in Brazil?
We have laws against private financing in campaigns. So no matter what a company does for your campaign, it is already illegal. A private corporation cannot be a donor. So the fact that, one, it was off the books, and two, it came from private corporations, that makes it already illegal. In Brazil, we don't have specific news for fake news. We have normal laws for libel and this kind of thing. We have an electoral justice system that only concerns about the electoral process, and it's made out of very senior justices who are not on pace with how technology has developed in this past couple of years. So you can have an idea, they stayed silent in the sidelines watching every campaign attacking each other on social media. And by the end of the campaign, they wanted to produce a brochure for voters against fake news, a brochure in 2018. I'm not sure how popular that will be.
I assume there was no foreign interference in your election process.
Not as far as we know, no. That hasn't been unveiled to this point. However, the amount of fake news by the campaign themselves was a level that we had never seen before. And the fact that we are using apps that we cannot even monitor how many voters have been touched by the spread of fake news is worrisome.
Gustavo Ribeiro is the founder and managing editor of the Brazilian Report. He's in Sao Paulo. Great to talk with you. We'll keep in touch. I'll be curious to see how this works out, Gustavo.
Thank you very much, Dave.